Time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes, big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
Oh, that is right. We love going big time, long time interviews, interviews that take more time than everybody else. But we also talk to big thinkers. And if you heard that introduction, today is going to be interesting because we are talking with an author who himself is talking about big thinkers when it comes to the investment world. That's because my guest is Frederick Van Haverbeek. He is the author of Excess Returns, a comparative study of the methods of the world's greatest investors. It is a new book out from Harriman House, and it's a really interesting read, and it's a particularly interesting read right about now where there's a lot of things that have been going on trying to say, hey, you can invest like this smart guy or that smart guy. There's the whole iBillionaire thing. There was supposed to be an iBillionaire fund saying you can invest like a billionaire. Well, this is a really interesting analysis of some of the world's greatest investors. If you want more information, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guests page. There you will find a picture of the book, and then you'll find a link to the Amazon page on it. Frederick Van Haverbeek, welcome to Money Life.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. And I talked about this idea that right now there is a lot of attention being paid to great investors, but it's not being done from your, hey, let's go study and see what they do. It's, you know, hey, you can buy this fund and invest like a billionaire. You can do whatever. We've seen lots of this over the years. We've seen, you know, mutual funds that invest like Warren Buffett. Some do better, some do worse. When you're analyzing what great investors do, is what they do completely unique to them? Or is it something that we as individual investors, either on our own or working through funds and other things, can actually try to emulate and be successful doing?
Well, you will probably not be surprised when I say that we can actually emulate what they are doing, because when you really look at what they are doing a lot of things in common. So a lot of their ways to look at the market, to look at undervalued pockets of the market, to buy and sell and all these things. These are all very similar for different investors, but they use the same techniques. So, and what is also very important, what I have seen, and this is not only for investors, but also for traders, is the psychological mindset. So people think alike, people behave alike in the market, and it is quite different from what the average Joe is doing in the market. So I don't know if I have to give some examples, but
yeah, no, I would love some examples, because again, we all hear, I mean, you know, I think of Warren Buffett as an example, and Warren Buffett started buying Coca-Cola stock around the same time I personally started buying Coca-Cola stock. Yet I don't really consider myself investing like Warren Buffett. I know we both have it in our respective portfolios, but I don't feel the same. So what are the characteristics, and maybe what are a few examples?
Oh, one of the main characteristics is probably patience. So the best investors, so dozens of investors that I have studied, they are all very patient. They don't say, oh, I want Coca-Cola, I will buy it now. No, they say, okay, Coca-Cola is an excellent company, let's look at the price. And they only buy when the price is excellent. So they are patient, and then they buy and they wait. And they don't try to sell when they make a 20% profit or so. No, they just wait. They go along the ride for several years. And you know, for instance, that Warren Buffett and Charles Munger, they say that the success of Berkshire Hathaway, they owe to about 15 stocks that they have held for a very long time.
Yeah.
So they wait for, yeah, they wait for the right moment to buy, and then they stick along.
Well, right, they have always said their favorite holding period is forever. So yes, they're going to stick it out. The is one of the common characteristics, and I know from having read a bunch of the book that it does seem to be, but great investors don't seem to always look at themselves as great investors. They tend to look at themselves as entrepreneurs and guys who are going to run or own businesses. It's not necessarily that they're going to run these companies or even be on the board, but they all seem to look at it as if when they evaluate a company, even if all they're buying is shares, they're acting as if they're buying the whole thing, right?
Yes, of course. They look at the business as a business and they say, okay, I want to be part of this business. They don't say this is a lottery ticket. I may win or I may lose. No, they say, okay, this business, I can buy it at a cheap price. Maybe some of them, like Warren Buffett, can influence their holdings when they have a large percentage of the shares, but not necessarily, of course. And they just say, okay, this business has potential. I will stick with it, and I will buy it. And that's it's as simple as that. And,
okay.
Indeed, they are entrepreneurs, just like an entrepreneur who wants to buy a new business, who has a small business, who hires extra people, who wants to go into another business. It's very similar. But here, the only difference is that many of them buy public companies.
You know, you talk about they have patience. I think for a lot of people, if we had a lot more money, we could feel fairly patient. If you've got a lot of money, you're not worried about any one position blowing up. But Joe, the guy on the street who's an average investor, if one of his picks blows up, it's a real problem. So he can't necessarily be as patient.
Well, I think that it's not a problem for small people to get invested. You don't need 100 stocks in your portfolio. And most of these top investors, they also don't buy 100 stocks. So you don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest. You can start with a few tens of thousands of dollars and just buy, for instance, 20 stocks for $1,000 or $1,500, and you can get started. And these great minds, they just buy maybe 10 or 20 stocks. But of course, these companies, they know them very well. And that's the main point. If you don't know them, of course, people will be very afraid and then they may blow up. But for instance, Warren Buffett in 2009 made a very special announcement when during the annual meeting, he said that he knew actually Wells Fargo so well that he would have been willing to put all of his money in Wells Fargo at the depth of the crisis in 2009. So this means that you don't need millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest. You just need to focus, to know what to invest in, and put your money on your best ideas. And it doesn't require that much money.
We've been talking a lot about Warren Buffett, but we should point out that the book covers a lot of different investment legends, ranging from Buffett, of course, to Peter Lynch, Jim Rogers, George Soros, John Templeton, and perhaps my favorite, Phil Carre. Now, for those who don't know, Phil Carre was the guy who started the third mutual fund in existence, the Pioneer Fund. And he wrote an amazing book called A Money Mind Looks at 90. And around the time he was turning 100, I was able to sit down for a long interview with him. One of my favorite interviews in a very long journalism career. As you were going through comparing someone like Carre, who I assume you probably never got a chance to talk to, or John Templeton, who you never got a chance to talk to, and you were trying to look at it, were you able to find that the things that make great investors great have not changed over time? That if you had to put somebody using Phil Carre's ideas or John Templeton's ideas today, when we live in an internet world that they didn't live in, when we live in a world with all the speed that we have, that great investors would be great in any environment?
Yes, I'm pretty convinced that they would be great in any environment. And the reason is, even if there is a lot of knowledge in the market, people are always tricked by their own emotions. So they panic too quickly. Even when there's a lot of noise, when there's a lot of knowledge in the market, it can be harmful because sometimes something bad will happen and then you will hear too much people saying, oh, you have to sell, you have to sell. Well, maybe it's not necessarily true that you really have to sell. So people can't control their emotions. And what stands out, why great investors stand out among other investors, that they really do in control their emotions. They also make mistakes, of course. They are also subject to all these cognitive biases that make people trip up in the market. But they are aware of them, and they try to fight them consciously. And that's what really makes them so great in the market.
Well,
that this one, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I love the way that the book does compare great investors and helps folks not only understand their methods, but take a look at what makes an effective investment philosophy and how you can apply the things that you know, whether they're what one expert does or another. Frederick, this has been a pleasure. I appreciate you taking time out to join me on Money Life.
Thank you.
Frederick Van Haverbeek is the author of Excess Returns, a comparative study of the methods of the world's greatest investors. Out now from Harriman House. If you want more information, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. You'll find it there with a link to the book's Amazon page. Hey, we've just hit the halfway pole on the July 15th edition of Money Life. That means Greg McBride from Bankrate.com is in next when Money Life continues right after this message.